It's Monday.
It's April 21st.
And the word of the day is buggyard, which means one who distorts the truth beyond all recognition to fit their own agenda. Using the sentence, it's a buggyard and a feature. That's what's happening.
The most solemn of booyahs for this particular buggyard.
Amazing. I'm Cecil Something Italian.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, a Democratic senator gets to do his very own Taken movie.
A Secretary of Education gets a little saucy.
And Vice President Vance shows off his football skills with a very sad end zone jance dance.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, Eli Bosnick and Cecil Something Italian. Gentlemen, I don't fucking know. Happy Easter or whatever.
Heath, this is the politics show. If we say he has risen, it better be a warning from the Secret Service.
Look, I am a huge fan of any holiday where a biblical savior gets to birth via cesarean a candy-filled chocolate cake. I think that is
how it happens.
That's solid. Interesting holiday. Mythos, guys. All right, in our lead story tonight, war crimes are fucking up our comedy show.
Yeah.
We're going to have to dial back the japes for a minute and talk about the story of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. He's the other main victim besides jokey podcasts of all this. So here's the terrifying timeline in case anyone missed it.
Sorry, Heath, do I cue the wackety sax behind you right
now? Cue it right now. So that's good. That's good for the tone.
Keep it light.
Mm-hmm. Here's the timeline. On March 15th, ICE agents abducted hundreds of people, claiming they were terrorist gang members, gave them no trial, and flew them to a torture gulag in El Salvador called Torture Gulag in El Salvador. There's another name for that mega prison, but we're not using it. We're saying torture gulag.
Fair.
One of the abducted people was Garcia of Maryland, who fled El Salvador at age 16 after being threatened by a gang and has legal status in the U.S. that specifically bans ever sending him to El Salvador because, obviously.
Okay, but what if we already started doing a war crime? Then it's okay, right?
God, yeah, it's like a cop who started writing the ticket.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Then on April 1st, ICE officially admitted that Garcia's abduction was, quote, an administrative error. Just a little paperwork snafu, you know, no big deal.
That marimba hold music plays as it says, please stand by over Pam Bondi's head.
Sounds about right. All right. Then on April 4th, at a hearing in Maryland, U.S. District Judge Paula Zenas ruled that the U.S. government has to facilitate and effectuate Garcia's return and ensure he gets the full due process as if he never got illegally deported. That ruling got challenged by the Trump administration, and on April 10th, the Supreme Court of the United States upheld that ruling by Paula Zenas unanimously, except for the word effectuate. So, according to the entire Supreme Court, all nine of them, the government has to facilitate Garcia's return and ensure he gets due process in the United States.
I feel like this is going to lead to an In Excess music video where one guy just keeps flipping cards with the words that end with A-T-E at the end. So it's like, effectuate, facilitate, don't incarcerate someone's mate through a mandate you didn't legislate. And he just keeps flipping. You guys know where I'm going.
100%.
Yeah.
And honestly, better than the legal tactics we're trying now. Like, I love it
like,
for so many.
Decidedly better. Just play that video at the hearing.
Over and over. Yeah.
Okay. Since then, the administration somehow claimed a victory in that SCOTUS ruling because everything is insane and words don't matter anymore. And they agreed to very passively facilitate Garcia's return if he gets released. Also, he won't get released.
Yeah, like what?
We know that because on April 14th, Trump had an Oval Office meeting with fellow fascist lunatic Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador. When asked about releasing Garcia, Bukele said, no, I can't smuggle a terrorist into the United States, which is nonsense words and also a lie because Bukele got himself into the United States somehow. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The government didn't kill the guy. This big guy in a hood did? I mean, we're looking into it, but...
Yeah. And just to be clear, though, there's no evidence that Garcia had anything to do with any terrorism or any wars against the United States. The Trump administration claims he's a member of the MS-13 gang. He's not. They could try to prove that he is, but... that would happen during due process that never happened.
Yep,
that's when they do that.
Yeah.
That's
also worth noting, we've pledged about $15 million of taxpayer money to fund the torture gulag.
Crazy.
So they can take our prisoners. And we've already spent about $4 million. Hmm. Not clear where that money actually went once it hit Bukele's account, but that's the claim.
Huh. You know, look, there are plenty of for-profit American prisons where we could torture those people and create homegrown American jobs, you know?
Yeah. What happened to America first?
I'm just sitting there in a hood. I don't think the Guatemalan guy shocking my balls is actually named Mike. Why would they make him pretend his name is Mike?
I can hear the voice. So we finally got confirmation that Garcia is actually still alive last week when Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland went to El Salvador and demanded to meet with Garcia. Van Hollen got blocked from entering the torture gulag, but eventually authorities in El Salvador brought Garcia to meet Van Hollen at the hotel where the senator was staying.
Like you do with dangerous gang members. You just take them to random hotel lobbies.
Random hotel lobbies. Absolutely. Yeah, standard. During the meeting, Garcia confirmed the wildly inhumane conditions of the torture gulag, not surprising, and he explained that he was recently transferred to a different prison with slightly less wildly inhumane conditions. So that's something. Of course, Bukele's lackeys tried to stage some propaganda along the way. They started by trying to have the meeting next to a pool at that hotel to make it seem like luxurious or something. Van Hollen refused and had the meeting at a table in an empty restaurant area. And then at one point during that, the lackeys interrupted and put two margaritas on the table and took a quick photo for propaganda. One margarita was only half full, and they put that one in front of Garcia to make it look like he was definitely drinking. He was not. Van Hollen was very clear that neither of them touched the fucking propaganda ritas.
Okay, so now it is a crime to offer a war crime victim some tableside guacamole? What do you people want from us?
God damn it. Okay, one other detail that I'm furious about. The margaritas had a cherry as a garnish.
Thank you. I get that
I'm losing focus here, but that is also a war crime.
Yep.
The garnish is a lime, or maybe lemon and lime, a citrus fruit, or maybe a fruit that matches a flavored margarita. But these were not cherry margaritas. Learn to fucking propaganda bartend, you fucking pieces of shit.
God, that's disgusting. That's like garnishing guacamole with chocolate chips. A fucking
delicious
hate crime.
I mean hate crime, what Cecil said. I'm bad.
Mole. Okay. I want to circle back to this ridiculous argument about the word facilitate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, since that SCOTUS ruling, there's a giant legal battle about the meaning of that word, with every legal scholar in the country weighing in about the meaning of that word. And that's fucking stupid, because the ruling said the government has to do two things. The first one is facilitate something, but that doesn't really matter. The government also has to ensure that Garcia gets handled as if he didn't get illegally deported to El Salvador and he has to get due process in the U.S. Ensure there is super duper clear. The government has to make that certain. That's what ensure means. Everyone's arguing about the process being made easier or facilitated, but the second thing has to happen regardless. Why is this complicated?
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently doling out grades to college seniors with a very tentative grip of the term due next week, so I get it, but I would like our government's lawyers to be better than those seniors, you know what I'm saying?
Nice. That would be nice.
Yeah, get the government lawyers from a pool that isn't the C's get degrees crowd,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Okay, but even if we pretend the argument about facilitate really matters, there's still nothing there for the Trump administration as an argument. They're claiming they'll facilitate Garcia's return by providing a plane if he gets released from the torture gulag by the dictator who already said he's not doing that. So That's nothing. Like, imagine if I, top of my head, if I pocket sand you in the eyes and then ether you with a rag and then take you to a secret dungeon.
Why is this the top of your head?
I'm thinking about the Trump administration. It doesn't matter.
Steps. You have a lot of steps.
I'm thinking about whoever, hypothetically, you go to a secret dungeon, you're ethered, I pocket sanded you, and then I put you in an ice bath inside a cell and I harvest your kidneys and then I lock you in there. And then I'm like, hey, hold on, sorry, no. I want to facilitate things for you a little bit here. You could probably use a bath mat when you get out. And then I slide a 20% off coupon to Bed Bath & Beyond under the door of the cell. That's nothing. It's insane to argue about facilitate here.
Exactly. Bed Bath & Beyond doesn't even have any physical locations anymore. That's like giving somebody a shrimp buck. Come on.
You get one futures option for a Stanley Nickel meme coin that doesn't exist yet to buy yourself. It's nothing. Okay. And bigger picture, this is important. It's not just about Garcia. He's getting the most attention because he got war crimed with a fucking oopsie. I get it. I get the attention. But let's not forget all the rest of this. If you take someone to a mega prison that violates the Geneva Conventions, that's a war crime. If you take 300 people, that's at least 300 war crimes, assuming they each get war crimed just the once.
Just the one.
That's a bad assumption.
It's so hard to do just one.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. You got to double
like Pringles.
Dip.
And that's exactly what the Trump administration did. At least that we know of, about 300 of those. According to Trump, he's identified an invasion by a foreign government called gangs or whatever the country, and using a law from 1798, ICE agents have abducted hundreds of people with zero due process. And it literally doesn't matter what those people did. It could be an oopsie, or they could all be supremely evil terrorists. They're not.
No, they are not.
But that was still hundreds of war crimes, no matter what. It seems like war crime might not count right now because I'm not aware of a war, but apparently we are at war. It's with, an autism awareness gang, just like we were in 1798 with France. So at some point, if decent human beings ever get power again, here's an idea. There's a prison in The Hague for war criminals that could use some extra business from the U.S. Maybe we could subsidize it with $15 million. I don't know. I'll chip in. And Trump said he wants to deport homegrown criminals, too. He did mention that. And I could think of at least one convicted felon who needs to go. We can even give some due process or not. Whatever works. I don't fucking care.
Looking forward to ignoring the order when Supreme Court says effectuate his return from there.
That's when Heath gets real slippery about definitions. Hold up.
Let me get my red pen out.
Have you all played today's Wordle?
All right. On that depressing note of this entire story, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, Privacy Hawk. Ooh, a call from my hometown area code. Hello?
Hello. Is this Mr. Enright? This is a very obvious scam.
Damn it. How do scam callers and telemarketers keep getting my number?
Oh, that's easy. We use data brokers.
Data brokers?
Data brokers. They're collecting and selling your personal information, your address, your phone number, purchase history, and they do it all without your permission.
What? That can't be legal.
Oh, it is. As long as they give you a way to remove yourself, then they can do whatever they want.
Okay, so how do I remove myself?
You can't, or at least they make it really, really hard to do it.
Great.
And even if you do, they just sell it to another company or wait for you to forget, and then they add you again.
I mean, is there anything I can do?
You could try Privacy Hawk.
Oh, what's Privacy Hawk?
Privacy Hawk scans over 100 data broker sites to find where your personalized info is being shared and works to get it removed. It keeps monitoring every month to make sure your sensitive data, like your phone number, address, or social security number, stays private. And if your info shows up in a breach or on the dark web, you'll get an alert so you can act quickly.
Sounds great. Where do I sign up?
You can try Privacy Hawk by running a free privacy scan at go.privacyhawk.com/skeptocrat. Use code SKEPTIC20 on iOS or SKEPTIC20 on Android for a special discount on the Platinum Annual Plan. That includes $1 million in identity theft recovery insurance, dark web and breach monitoring, alerts for sensitive information, and automated data removal from broker sites, all at a special rate just for the Skeptocrat listeners.
All right, thanks.
No problem.
Hey, don't you guys usually have, like, an accent?
Yeah, we thought it would be best I not have one in the ad.
Yep, smart. Smart.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in Fool's Speed Ahead news. Brainworm-powered flesh golem RFK declared autism an epidemic this past Wednesday, blaming it on an unnamed, undiscovered environmental toxin.
Interesting.
That's right. Just like when Trump declared he won in the 2020 election with no proof, or when Elon Musk claimed that there were trillions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse without evidence, RFK is running the same playbook. He announced the conclusion first, and now he just has to quickly and selectively dig up whatever scraps he can to declare what he wants to be true as true.
Yeah. The next couple of months is just him and his advisors figuring out what announcement they can make that doesn't violate the Geneva Conventions.
I don't know. We are getting invaded by the foreign nation of Australia. I've heard that was what's happening. And we have exceptions to the rules from 1798 that apply
true,
here.
Yeah, no.
RFK claims that there has been a rise in autism rates among children over the past 20 years. In 2000, he says that one in 36 children were diagnosed with autism. And by the end of 2022, that number was 1 in 31.
Okay.
He insists this isn't because we've gotten better at diagnosing autism or refined the criteria.
Instead,
he says that the Department of Health and Human Services is now committed to investigating environmental causes. He flat out calls it a preventable disease.
Oh, man, if it's pug tchotchkes, my face is going to be red.
Yeah, and if it's eating cheese like an apple, like over a sink, same for me. I will be embarrassed.
I think you were before you started doing eating
more,
cheese like that.
More by a little bit more.
He wants to have an answer, and this is a quote, quote, very, very quickly, end quote. And he set a date for the answers in September of this year. Now, experts and other advocates say that that's not going to be enough time to design a good quality study that's going to produce results. But I think they're forgetting that when you start with your conclusion before you tested a single thing, all the rest of it's just busy work.
I don't think you can put deadlines on scientific discovery.
Oh, au contraire. I think the head of Health and Human Services just did so, Heath. Kennedy thinks that other causes are not the culprit and not worth looking into, and he's dead set on this particular mechanism as the particular culprit. Here's the quote. The amount of money and resources put into studying genetic causes, which is a dead end, has been historically 10 to 20 times the amount spent by federal agencies to study environmental factors. And that's where we're going to find the answer, end quote.
Okay, guys, I know this is horrible, but for just a second, can we admit how fucking funny it would be if he was right by chance? This would be, it would be the huffiest announcement from the scientific community ever.
It would be.
Turns out it's yellow dye. Oh.
Yeah. I'm looking at my shoes because I'm mad, not because of the autism. And it turns out that was just the yellow dye anyway. God damn it. The worst day.
I realize that that's a funny jape, but it's probably not going to happen. And here's why. It's almost certainly not true that autism is caused by one thing. Zachary Warren, a pediatric psychiatrist and autism researcher at Vanderbilt University, put it like this in the NPR article. Quote, we may have hundreds, if not thousands, of different neurogenetic factors that, in combination with complicated environmental interactions, influence presentations of autism, end quote. He also said, quote, I wish I had better answers for families, but autism isn't a single thing. It's a word we use in an attempt to capture a spectrum of behavioral strengths, differences, and vulnerabilities so we can better support children, end quote.
Blah, 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 blah. Which dye do you guys think it is?
Okay. I bet it's yellow. I've always felt like yellow's the one.
Okay, and while you're doing that investigation over there, I have pretty good evidence that brainworms are caused by sawed-off whale heads. As an environmental factor, so check that out too.
Not only does RFK think he's going to uncover some single environmental cause behind a collection of thousands of neurodivergent factors, he also seems to think that most people diagnosed with autism are fundamentally incompetent. Here's how he put it, quote, "These are kids who will never pay taxes, they'll never hold a job, they'll never play baseball, they'll never write a poem, they'll never go out on a date, many of them will never use a toilet unassisted," end quote.
Hey, Robert, as the parent of an autistic kid, I want you to know I'm holding your mouth open for him to urinate into because I want to, not because he can't manage it himself. It's important to me.
Also, in terms of the neurons that get partially eaten by a worm, are we calling those typical? Would those be typical neurons?
There's literally a show about them dating. They have their own dating show.
Never play baseball? I saw somebody respond to that with a video of Nomar Garcia Parra stimming like crazy, doing his whole routine at the beginning of his at-bat.
I like his hierarchy too, because it starts with taxes.
You'll never write a poem, Robert. You write a poem right now, you fucking arcade prize chicken. You write a poem.
Okay, to sum up, RFK, a completely unqualified government official who doesn't understand what autism is, what causes it, how it's diagnosed, or how it actually affects people, is going to conduct a rushed, half-assed investigation with a made-up deadline and a conclusion he already picked before it even started. I will tell you this, I got a crisp $100 bill that says the environmental cause he lands on is going to be vaccines. Who wants to bet? Come on. Who's betting? Who's in a betting mood?
No bet. No.
I don't
bet.
Have that left in my IRA.
Oh, boy. Don't look. Do not look, podcast listener. Oh. And in more like birth might news, one of the most horrifying orders in the flood of executive actions Donald Trump took upon becoming president was his attempt to end birthright citizenship. Many at the time, including ourselves, pointed out that this was super duper illegal, practically right up against the very opposite of what the Constitution says. Illegal, yes, but apparently it's not so illegal that our nation's most biased Supreme Court wouldn't like to have a little looky-loo. And that is exactly what they're planning to do when they hear arguments about whether this we the people stuff is all too welcoming on May 15th of this year.
And just a reminder, Trump signed an executive order on day one of his new term that tried to cancel birthright citizenship. And a federal judge, John Kuhnauer, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan.
Liberal activist.
That's the one. Liberal activist John Kuhnauer, appointed by Reagan, immediately made a ruling that said, absolutely not. What the fuck are you talking about? It was very close to that. His exact words were, "I've been on the bench for over four decades. I cannot remember another case where the question presented is as clear as this one."
Yeah. If I could say one of the silver linings of the Trump administration is that there still have to be grownups in the world. And so we get to watch the grownups who have to exist before and after this be like, what do you mean you can fly now? I don't know how to do that. What you can't. Oh, God, I need a break.
We can't fly. I can't believe we have to write this stuff down.
I need a nectarine. Where do I file that motion? All right. So the plaintiffs in this case, 22 Democratic state attorneys general and immigrants rights activists, argue that Trump's order violates the 14th Amendment, which guarantees citizenship to anyone born in the U.S. because it does. Yeah.
Okay, you're thinking the 14th Amendment was a little too woke. Maybe the Dred Scott decision was right. We're listening. That's what's happening.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. We want to change the wording to birth white. Is that possible? Birth white.
It's like a couple letters off. Do this for me, big guy. So meanwhile, the Trump administration requested that the court narrow the scope of the three nationwide injunctions issued by federal judges in Washington State, Massachusetts, and Maryland that halted his January 20th order while the matter is litigated. And the good news is the Supreme Court did not grant that request, but they are going to hear arguments at all, which feels bad, right?
Sure it does.
It's also worth noting that the Supreme Court almost never hears an argument in May. Reason.com could only find three other examples of this happening in the court's history. And honestly, whenever this court does anything unprecedented, I'm worried, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to some fancy legal language from our nation's top legal scholars on this. And it's just going to be like, whereas we can read, gavel. Done? Are we done? But yeah, with the current court, I guess there's no guarantees of that.
Nope. What if this is like a backdoor thing? I wonder if Clarence Thomas is in like a really unhappy marriage and he has to reinstitute anti-miscegenation laws by overturning the 14th Amendment and birthright citizenship, just collateral damage and all
Ooh,
that. What do you think?
Very possible. He's in sort of a wacky, problematic comedy from the 80s.
Yeah, somebody's kicking a mouse trap or something like bowling ball and it winds
it's all
up
making
in the Supreme
sense.
Court.
So yeah, this is obviously terrible and would fundamentally change our identity as a country. I mean, I guess it would confirm your identity as a country if you're a pasty, racist white guy who's decided that brown people are the reason everyone hates you. And even though there are only like four of those guys, they have way too much power. So fingers crossed, you know what I'm saying? And speaking of terrible, unexpected things that just keep happening, let's toss things to our second sponsor this week, Policy Genius.
Okay, what if there's like a mannequin in the coffin that pops out during the service?
Oh my God, I love it.
Hey guys, what's all the foo-foo-rah?
Oh, did Noah leave you that one?
Yes, he did.
Nice. So Eli and I are just planning how to scare his loved ones when he dies.
Oh, okay. Why though?
Well, ever since I got life insurance with Policy Genius, I realized that my loved ones will miss me, but they won't be like terrified about how they're going to survive, so we're workshopping.
Ooh, bat wreath?
Ooh, love it. Put it on the board.
Wait. What's Policy Genius?
Policy Genius makes finding and buying life insurance simple and ensures your family has a financial safety net they can use to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest that money to earn interest over time.
And with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams.
Sounds great.
It is. With Policy Genius, their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast, so you can get on with your life. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process.
All right, guys, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Secure your families tomorrow so you have peace of mind today. Head to policygenius.com. Or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Okay, I'll let you guys get back to your planning then.
Cool.
Nice.
You guys already do a pop scare, Will?
Oh my God, like in the video?
Yeah.
Awesome idea.
Oh, get in here, buddy. You're on a roll.
Okay. I do have a couple of ideas.
Yeah, you do.
And we're back. Next up in headlines, in butchering the job news, current Secretary of Education and part-time WWE Hall of Famer Linda McMahon took to the mic at ASU plus GSV Summit last week and managed to botch a basic term in a spectacular fashion. While talking about artificial intelligence schools, she confidently referred to it as A1 instead of AI. Here is the actual quote from the live stream quote. I think it was a letter or a report that I heard this morning. I wish I could remember the source, but there is a school system that is going to start making sure that first graders or even pre-Ks have A1 teaching every year.
Come on.
Starting that far down in the grades, end quote.
Psst, Linda, you heard it on a Yik Yak. Read the script. I sent you the script, 100%. Girl.
I'd like her to remember the source. I'd like that.
Yeah, it was a TGI Fridays menu.
Yeah, there you go. Well, as you look at that.
Oh, it comes with A1. What do you know?
Turns out I'm not cut off after all, am I,
I will have
Kimberly?
A margarita with a cherry garnish, sir.
Thank you. And the terrorist is drinking
That
with
would
it.
Never happen at TGI Fridays. Never.
Too far.
Read the manual.
All right. And,
maybe a cherry speared on a lemon lime orange, but
Heath,
God, just a cherry.
Is the manual in sight of where you're recording our podcast right now? Do you occasionally, quote unquote, freshen up on said manual? You have to tell us.
It's the manuals in my brain and my heart forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And she didn't just flub it once and move on. No, she doubled down. Later in the same talk, she said, quote, "And that's just a wonderful thing. Kids are sponges. They absorb everything. So it wasn't all that long ago that we were going to have internet in our schools. Now, okay, let's see A1 and how that can be helpful."
Okay, and now somebody's gesturing wildly at me from off stage. That's weird. Whatever, moving on.
Spin like a top. Spin like a top.
Yeah, no, I'm going to just keep going. I'm just going to keep going. One think one have a responsibility to the kids of America. What did I say?
Continue the quote. How can it be helpful in a one-on-one instruction? How can it be helpful?
You mean
eye-on-eye instruction. How can it be helpful in absorbing more information for those fast learners? It can be more one-on-one directed and those kinds of things and innovations. That's what I want to see continue to develop, end quote.
It could, for example, teach the children the difference between an I and a one.
Yeah. What's interesting is that she might not have just misspoken. She may actually think that A1 is a bigger, better version of AI. Because she does call it artificial intelligence and AI at other points, but also keeps saying A1 like it's an upgraded version of the technology. So just for the record, the Trump administration wants to shut down the Department of Education, a stance the current secretary, sauce enthusiast and former chokeslam victim, fully supports.
Now, that's her real resume that Cecil keeps talking about.
Just three bullets, dude. It's crazy. Her real reasoning, since we didn't always have a Department of Education, we probably don't need one now.
Yeah, what? By the time she's done A and one, might be all we have left of the letters and numbers.
Okay, so violence is wrong. I'll start by saying that. And that's why nobody should do the following thing that I thought of. While Linda McMahon is doing a press conference, nobody should run in and hit her with a steel chair really hard.
Yeah, don't do that.
Despite being, I would say, the funniest crime ever, that would be wrong and illegal. And I checked with A1 about this. According to ChatGPT, yes, Heath, that would be the funniest crime ever, but also wrong and illegal. Don't do that.
Seriously, I agree. Billionaire money. You could easily hire any pro wrestler you want. You know they're hireable. You could easily get them in to one of these, like, she's in front of Congress, and then, like, somebody does this, like, I don't know, they tombstone her in front of, like, on the fucking table? Come on.
They would never see John Cena coming.
Amazing. You just wave his hand. Neither she nor the Trump administration can actually do much about removing the Department of Education, since shutting down a federal agency like the Department of Education is something that only Congress can do. I mean, sure, Republicans introduce a bill to close the agency, but let's be honest, it's probably not going anywhere.
Also, based on a law from 1798, we're being invaded by a foreign country called fucking Knowledgevania or whatever. So technically, we can deport without Congress or the court system.
Okay, rules. All right. So, not missing the moment, Heinz, the company that makes A1, posted a picture to their Instagram with the text, quote, "Agree, best start them early." And the caption, quote, "You heard her, every school should have access to A1, end quote. Because capitalism is a high-stake game.
As the head of the Department of Education, it's my job to make sure the kids of America learn about A1 responsibly. And parents deserve to know what's being taught in our schools.
Amazing,
there you go. I'm Linda McMahon of the WWE and the soon-to-be-gone Department of Education.
For clarity, the good puns at the end of that story were both from Cecil and Heath, not from the A1 State Company. Don't give them any credit. And in no regrets news, if you're like me, the silver lining around the cloud of politics lately is the fantasy that somewhere, somehow, a Trump supporter is out there regretting their decision more than you are. Well, according to a new poll, all the hopeful thoughts I've ever had since 2015 are factually incorrect, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, so TLDR version, Trump voters are sitting at a breakfast table with nothing but coffee because they can't afford eggs, and they're coughing from the bird flu they got, and from the smoke because the entire economy is on fire and they're saying this is fine. They're the dog from this is fine meme.
Yeah. So the poll in question comes to us from UMass Amherst / YouGov poll and shows that only 2% of Trump voters in 2024 said they would change their vote today, which, as CNN's Harry Enten points out, is equal to the number of people who say they regret voting for Kamala Harris. And among the 2% of Trump voters,
how would you regret voting for Kamala Harris at this? You can, what would even cause you to think that?
Well, it gets worse, Heath. It actually gets
worse. Counterfactual.
Yeah. Being dropped on your head.
And among the 2% of Trump voters who do regret voting for him, many just wish they hadn't voted at all.
You know what? In retrospect, I kind of wish we just had a void of nothingness. I'd vote for that next time.
Okay, that I get.
Admittedly, though, conduct that poll not with 1,000 participants that they found, but with some of the thousands of people let go from the federal government that voted for him. I'd like to see what that answer looks like.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You'd like to think. Now,
oh, come on.
I want to point out, no, that doesn't mean that nobody is regretting Trump's presidency. His popularity is down, and the majority of Americans disapprove of how he's handling the economy because he smashed it into a wall. Sure. Independent voters in particular are especially displeased. But yeah, the fantasy we have that people have recognized they did a bad thing, it's just that. It's a fantasy, everybody.
Well, or people who voted for Trump are also sometimes liars. That's
one.
Possible. And yeah. Can't admit they were fucking stupid out loud when they're talking to a pollster. Seems like that might be true.
Might be liars.
Might
be
some
true.
Of those people
could
who voted
be liars.
For Trump.
Sunny optimist, Heath Enright Hughes, sunny boy. And look, I know I'm a bit of a broken record about this point since Trump's election, but I think it's important to acknowledge that if we ever want to win and stop bad things from happening, shame doesn't work. These people have no sense of shame or regret or thought or empathy. Most Americans, conservatives included, don't give a fuck about doing the right things. They want us to promise them a pony. And if we sneak in some gay rights behind said pony, so be it.
Why is this pony got a rainbow mane?
Don't
What's
worry about
going
it.
On
just
here?
A special.
Don't you get a pony, huh? Sure. Pony.
Easter.
Right? Get excited. Okay.
Got glitter on his hooves.
And finally tonight, in Fail to the Victors.
Hell yeah! Take us home, Heath.
Chance Dance Vance. He came from humble beginnings. He grew up in poverty, but using nothing but bootstraps and gumption and being a white guy in America. He graduated from high school. He got degrees from Ohio State and Yale Law. He wrote a memoir called Hillbilly Elegy that became a New York Times bestseller. And he went on to make millions as a venture capitalist. That story of the American dream was a big part of the reason he got chosen as a running mate by Donald Trump. And when the White House hosted the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes football team for a ceremony last week, as an alum and the vice president, Vance was front and center to congratulate the team while they showed off their glimmering, beautiful trophy. And he dropped it. He dropped it right away. Vance was given the chance to lift a trophy for, I'm assuming, the first time in his goddamn life.
Oh, for sure.
Not a trophy like he earned, but a trophy nonetheless. And he got way too excited, and he dropped it so fast.
It folds in his hands like a 7-2 offsuit in Hold'em. He looks like the start of every late night Crazy Glue commercial
really
where there's
does,
like a
yeah.
freeze frame.
Has
of
this
him
ever
just
happened to you?
Yeah.
So, amidst a deluge of tragically evil news, this moment was truly delightful to watch from start to finish. Here's the play-by-play. It starts with the Ohio State team on the south lawn of the White House, all beaming with the happiness of a 14-2 record, which is a great record, only 2 losses all year. And yes, the previous national champions had a perfect record. And yes, one of those 2 losses for the Buckeyes this year was an embarrassing defeat at their home stadium to their arch rival. Rough, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, now you piqued my interest. What team would that be?
Okay, respect the neither here nor there, Cecil. It is neither here nor there. You're trying to break it here.
Go Blue. So the Michigan Wolverines. That's who, Cecil. That's who. So, okay, but you're at the White House for a big celebration for your football team. So you put on a big smile. And that's when J.D. Vance walks over to the trophy to lift it up himself. Just by touching it for a second, he immediately realizes that it's going to be way too heavy for him. And this, right now, this was the before times.
It sure
he
was.
Had this one moment to bail and just make a big hand gesture at the trophy, let one of the players pick it up, it'd be fine. He does not choose wisely.
Yeah, he's like, okay, who should hold the trophy, an athlete or me? A guy who, when someone on Twitter, with no evidence at all, suggested I fuck couches, the entire country bought it 100% right away.
Okay, like, I still buy it. Yeah, I know it's 100%. Been debunked as a hoax. Mm-hmm. I don't think
made
it is.
9/11
sense.
So now J.D. Vance is pot committed to picking up this trophy. And in order to have any chance of actually picking it up, he has to slide the trophy across the table to get a better angle. The trophy is made of two pieces, a bronze base and a shiny golden part on top. So after some groping around with the base that's not helping, Vance grabs it with one hand from the top part because he's goddamn Adolf Hitler. And Buckeyes star running back Travion Henderson is standing right there, clearly grunting under his breath, don't grab the fucking top, both hands bottom, both hands bottom. J.D. Vance ignores that and tries for the pickup with one hand on the base and one hand on the top. So Henderson immediately steps in to steady the top part and help however he can. But it's no use. Vance gets the base a couple inches off the table, and then he wrenches the base at a crazy angle. The two pieces of the trophy come apart, and the base tumbles to the ground, like J.D. Vance was doing that infomercial for 100%. The Bad Blue.
100%.
The only successful moment was Henderson holding on to the gold part.
If you watch this, it looks like someone digging into like a gigantic sub sandwich and choosing to pick it up by the meat and toppings and not the bread.
So J.D. scrambles to pick up the base, and Henderson helps him put the pieces back together. And then Vance tries to hold it up again. But Henderson was like, hey, bud, you're shaking. Your arms are just shaking so much. Maybe put down the base. Just hold the gold part. You want to just hold the gold part, huh? And then we got to watch J.D. Vance, the vice president of these United States of America, stare at the cameras like a fucking idiot holding half a trophy while pretending to have a casual conversation with nobody. It was like me on a dance floor, you know, buying time before I have to try an actual moment of dancing again. And as that's all happening in delightful fashion, the White House band is playing We Are the Champions by Queen.
It's true. He's just been shamed and he's not quite sure how to hold it. So it really does look like he's holding Peter Thiel's balls very lightly, just cradling them, you know? I love that they always posted every picture they could of Biden like fumbling shit. And then they'd post it all smarmily. And then you watch this and you're like, you're such a fucking klutz, dude.
Joe would have been like, too old to lift that.
Sorry.
It's all right. You get it. OJ Simpson's here.
Yeah, so despite all those lifetime accomplishments I mentioned, it turns out that J.D. Vance never quite learned a skill called humaning. He's bad at being a person. He's bad at being a human being. And Trump learned that the hard way when Vance hit the campaign trail last summer. One especially daunting task in humaning was ordering donuts. J.D. tried to order donuts and missed. That was fun.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Pretty much the entire GOP voting base has most of their identity centered around celebrating sports victories they weren't part of and donuts. And maybe they take pride in picking up physical objects at a gym. That's their life. And the guy who's currently in line to represent the top of their political party going forward managed to fail at all of those things in the course of about 5 seconds. It was just so perfect. I loved it. And on that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to Cecil, thanks to Eli, and thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening, and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. Ooh. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Skating Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slonick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He is the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check them out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off.
Put it on the grill!
That's our new catchphrase. Wait, what's that? A wreath made of the animal called bat?
That's right, yeah.
Nice. Spies!
Okay, okay. I do have a couple of ideas.
Yeah, you do.
Chestburster.
Yes.
Fill them full of those snakes. Like when,
oh,
you know,
like the peanut cans.
Like the peanut cans.
Like the gag snakes?
The gag snakes, full of gag snakes.
A xenomorph popping out like a gag.
That's a great idea.
It's all xenomorphs all the way down, just like a bunch of them. Amazing.
A xenomorph pops out as a gag snake, and then it has a tiny little gag snake xenomorph. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2025. All rights reserved.